Well, just this last week, raise your hand if you were here last week. It was a really, really good message. I was pretty busy during that Sunday morning time, but I'm the one that kind of edits our sermons and puts them on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So every single week, whether I've heard it Sunday morning or not, I re-listen to our messages. And man, it was a good message. I feel like we are right now focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit, just being filled or being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But last week, Jay's message specifically was titled, God, the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, God, the Holy Spirit. That is not our title today, but there was an emphasis on that, and it's really important. We're going to take some time to kind of recap what he said, because the main point that he was getting across, in my opinion, is that the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling around a church service. The Holy Spirit is not just kind of that emotional pull that you feel in worship. It's really popular in like Christian camps. If you go to camps with youth camps and all that, and there's a lot of like worship happening in ministry time, oftentimes people get all like weepy and emotional, and you can feel the Holy Spirit. So sometimes people will associate that feeling with the Holy Spirit and nothing else about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. In fact, the Holy Spirit was there from the very beginning. You guys know this, right? And Jay kind of brought this up. You can read at the very beginning of the Bible. If you don't know where to start in the Bible, I highly suggest that you start in either Romans or Ephesians, just my personal opinion. But most people would just open it at the beginning. And the very start of the Bible, Genesis 1:1-3, says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And look at this. Within the first three verses, we see, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then verse 3 is the verse that I feel like most people that may not be familiar with the Bible associate with, like the very first sentence in the Bible. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So within the first three words of his word, we see that the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. He's not just an accessory to God's presence. He is the breath of God that breathes life in us. Amen? So that's what our focus was on last week. And the Holy Spirit's the real deal, man. Do not mess with him. I remember being absolutely terrified when I was kind of in my faith and learning more about Jesus. Just knowing that all my sins were forgiven, forgiven for everything. And then I got more into ministry, and I took one of the classes in our SLI, which is kind of our education or institute that was accredited through Chapel Valley. And so I took one of the classes there, and I specifically remember Pastor Larry speaking on this. And I almost was convinced that this was not in the Bible because I was so terrified of it and I had never heard it. But talking about an unforgivable sin, and it has to do with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, but all your sins are forgiven. And this terrified me. Looking at Matthew 12:22-32, it says this. This is a long stretch of scripture, but you need context. Please do not cherry pick scripture. That's when you get confused. And so this is so fun to actually look at the context and understand what was happening to lead up to the explanation of why this is an unforgivable sin. Matthew 12:22-32 says this. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, speaking about Jesus. And he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it's only Beelzebul, the prince of demons. That is the man cast out demons. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? If I cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 29, or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? then indeed he may plunder the house. Verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Verse 31, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Verse 32, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. And so I was terrified when Pastor Larry spoke on this and taught this. I was like, I'm screwed. Like, I've probably done this and I don't even know, you know? I'm messed up and now it's too late. And I remember learning about this, and the reason I wanted to give context is in case, you know, you miss this part or if I don't do a good job of recapping it, but seeing the work of God and the power of God happening through the Holy Spirit and claiming that to be like work of demons, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is then in turn blasphemy against God, which makes sense, right? We learn that the Holy Spirit is God. So don't mess with the Holy Spirit. He is not just a feeling. He is not just accessory to God's presence. He is part of the triune God that we worship. So with all of that being said, today we are talking about the Holy Spirit in a specific role. Now, Pastor Jay had brought this up last week. He said, we're starting a series on the Holy Spirit. And then he started his message. And then he went to California and told me I'm speaking. So I'm like, that means I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I guess. And I don't know how long we're in the series. I don't know what he's going to talk about next week. So I'm taking over this week with what I feel like God was asking me to speak, which is specifically a role that the Holy Spirit has. And so even though we worship the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are all in one. How many of you guys know they kind of have different roles, right? That's why we say the Father. That's why we say the Son. That's why we say the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have enough time to unpack all of these different roles, and obviously they do different things. But when I personally think of the Holy Spirit, I tend to associate the Holy Spirit as a helper. Everybody say helper. Title of today's message is called Holy Spirit, the Helper. And so if the Holy Spirit is a helper, what exactly does he help with? Everything. The Holy Spirit helps with us doing the will of God, in my opinion. He empowers us to witness, as Pastor Jay was saying, to witness to people, to preach the gospel, to display the power of God. He's a helper in all of it. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 kind of breaks this down in a practical sense. Is there anybody that's like practical here? Like really appreciates practical advice or practical things from messages or sermons or anything like that? That's how I was. That was one of my things when I would attend church at a young age. I would always feel like it was really big picture and I never walked away with knowing what exactly I was supposed to do right after that. And so it wasn't until one of my spiritual mentors kind of pointed out to me in the Bible that if you really break it down, there's a lot of actual practicality in it when you look at scripture itself. And so that's why it's so important to include these scriptures in our messages. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 for that practicality. So we just talked about how the Holy Spirit is a helper to help us do the will of God, to display the power of God. And now we're learning that these come in the form of some spiritual gifts. So this is Paul speaking. He says, starting in verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And here we see a list of gifts of the Spirit. Okay, starting at verse 8. It says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So I'm going to actually have this scripture stay up for a little bit, just this verse 11. But we talk about all of these different gifts, okay? I've heard this spoken in many different ways, but I can tell you from the way that I was taught, and the revelations that I've personally had with God and how I've seen it display in my own life, you're not going to get assigned one of these gifts and you're stuck with that gift for the rest of your life. You'll never experience another gift. Why? Because it all comes from the same Spirit. And as verse 11 tells us, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We have different versions, I apologize, but it means the same thing. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that means that giant list of gifts that we just read off is something that the Holy Spirit can distribute to different people at different times throughout your life, right? And I've personally experienced this. I said this earlier, but again, the title of our message is The Holy Spirit, the Helper. And that's because I've experienced him as a helper mostly in my life. And there is one instance that I think about the most when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if I'll ever have any moment that tops it. I pray that I do, because that'd be really cool. But this is kind of the one that always comes to mind. So I, in the youth pastor here at Chapel Valley, I've been to many youth camps, as I kind of mentioned earlier. And how many of you guys have actually been to a youth camp before, like a Christian youth camp? One? Okay, two, three. I was going to say some students that went with me weren't raising their hand yet, so I knew that wasn't fully true. Youth camps are a great time. They're really fun. As a leader, they're not always the most fun in the flesh. I'll say that. I turned 33 on Memorial Day, which was crazy. I woke up this morning and I legitimately thought I threw out my back because I stretched, and that was it. I woke up, stretched, and felt like I threw out my back, which tells me that I'm getting older and older. And I could tell you, every time I go to youth camp, I feel like I'm getting older and older. Because for the leaders, you get no sleep whatsoever. The students sometimes no sleep, but the leaders especially, no sleep whatsoever. You're constantly having to like keep tabs on kids. My kids weren't even bad this last time we went to summer camp. They really weren't, but I was also watching a random group of kids I had never met before that were like a really hard deal to take care of, right? And so physically speaking, it exhausts me. So youth camps, where am I going with all this? Youth camps are a really good time. They really are. It's a way to isolate yourself away from the daily grind and the influences of the world, honestly, and you just get a bunch of believers together that are praying together and focusing on God. So great things happen in services, but it's exhausting. Okay. So in the flesh, I'm exhausted, not in a great mood, tired. We're on like day four of camp. I don't remember what year this was. But man, I just felt beaten down and I was like kind of ready to go home. So we do the big like group game or whatever it is. I'm even more exhausted after that. And then we get to evening service, which is kind of the best parts of camp. I feel like evening service every single night is always the best. Students and leaders agree. A lot of good stuff happens there because I believe the Holy Spirit is moving. And so we do evening service. Message is really good. We do worship. Worship is really good. And then we kind of do the part that, in my opinion, is the best. It's called ministry time, okay? So it's where we have welcomed in the Lord's presence and the Holy Spirit is moving. We have now given praise to him just as we did this morning. And we have an entire room filled with people that are focused on God, giving praise to him and just kind of basking in his presence. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is moving now, and now ministry can happen. I mentioned this at the beginning of the message, but the Holy Spirit is not just an accessory to his presence. He's not just a feeling. If you guys have ever been in worship and you're like, I could just want to sit in this and stay in this forever, that's great. But how many of you guys know that he wants you to take what you are feeling and do something with it, right? Whether that's praising his name more or whether that's actually going to somebody now that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, and he wants you to actually go to somebody and fill in the blank because he's in the driver's seat there. But maybe you are supposed to meet somebody that needs healing, right? Maybe you're supposed to give a word of wisdom or knowledge or something like that. And that's exactly what I experienced at camp. So I'm on top of the balcony in the, it's literally a lot like this room, except imagine that top drywall where our cameras are, you can actually go up there, right? And sit there and look out onto the rest of the crowd. So I was up there during ministry time as a youth leader. They're telling us, look out for students that need prayer. So I'm up there again, completely exhausted in the flesh, but now the Spirit is moving, right? And so I'm like an empty vessel with no energy whatsoever, praising God and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember like just lifting my hands, doing worship as normal, but I felt filled with the Holy Spirit, like to a point where I was like, this is real. Like it is manifesting in itself. I've told this story before, but I opened my eyes and I saw the whole room just as normal. It wasn't like there was gold flakes anywhere or anybody's face shining. But now I felt like I was on autopilot. I've never driven a self-driving car. I think they should be eradicated. They freak me out. But that's how I felt. I felt like I was all of a sudden a self-driving car. Because when a self-driving car, if you need to, you can manually override them, right? You can do something to stop the guidance of it. But I felt in this moment that I was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how to explain it, but I knew that I knew that I knew that if I really wanted to, I could like stop that guidance and just turn my head or even just turn like a couple steps to the left or something like that, and it would break. So I felt like I was now in a now or never moment of obedience to God, and the Holy Spirit was in the driving seat. So now I got to do something with it, right? So I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever you want to do. And he led me to different students. Like I'm telling you, it still felt like a self-driving car. I was just walking around the room. And as soon as I saw a student, I knew that I was supposed to pray for them. And the words came to me in the moment. I prayed for a student that, what did it start with? I think I've prayed for a student that didn't know somebody in their family that needed to know the Lord. And so I gave them a word of wisdom. I think I prayed for another student that needed physical healing in their knee. And these are all students that didn't tell me this prior. I walked up to them, told them, this is what God's telling me. And they're like breaking down crying because they're like, how did you know? And I love when people say, how did you know? Because I can always say, I didn't know. God knew. It's not me, right? And I prayed for another student that needed emotional healing. And then when it was done, it was done. But what that experience has always taught me is he helped me do ministry, right? None of that was me. Other than me just saying yes and going with the guidance, that was all God. That was all the Holy Spirit. That was all obedience to him. And so that's the kind of thing that can happen when we lend ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as our helper, right? He helps us do ministry. He helps us display the power of God. He helps us witness to people specifically. Pastor Jay brought up the introduction of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and this is the event of Pentecost, which means 50th. I looked it up. Pastor Jay said 50. I looked it up. It's 50th. Doesn't matter. Either way, this was 50 days after Jesus had been resurrected. Okay, so Jesus got crucified on the cross. He rose again. He was with the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven, told them, it's okay, I'm sending a helper. 10 days later, that helper came, and it was the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to witness here. And maybe I'll get to this later, so maybe it doesn't matter now, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. In those 10 days, when Jesus had ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, I'm not leaving you high and dry here. I'm sending a helper. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay here. I didn't ever think about this, but the disciples were not just sitting there waiting around for the Holy Spirit to come. They were waiting specifically in anticipation, and they were praying. And I feel like that's a really big difference, and we can kind of apply that to our life because we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, but oftentimes, how many of you guys have been in a situation where you feel like there's a promise from God that you're waiting on, and you're just waiting around for it to happen? I've at least been there, and I feel like this is always a really good lesson to learn because we should actually be waiting in anticipation, right? We should be waiting on God's promise, but in faith, knowing that it's coming. In anticipation for it and praying for it actively. So anyways, Acts 4 through 5 says this, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. So again, this is Jesus with the disciples telling them, don't go from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's telling them, you're going to experience the Holy Spirit not long from now, but just stay in Jerusalem. And so then they went to the upper room and prayed in anticipation. We pick up at Acts 2, 1 through 4, says this. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit, or as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody say, I totally skipped a line and that really threw me off. But anyways, everybody say God is faithful. We're coming back to it. God is faithful. You didn't have to repeat after me that time, but that's okay. It's a good thing to repeat. Jesus never left them high and dry. He didn't tell them when the Holy Spirit was coming, but when the Holy Spirit came, it was like a mighty rushing wind and they felt it. I've met people that don't know if they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't know if they've experienced the Holy Spirit. And it feels so cliche and almost like a cop-out to explain it this way. But I'm telling you, when you experience the Holy Spirit, you know that you have experienced the Holy Spirit. And I know that that's true. And I know that he wants that for each and every single person in this room. And so as we are entering into our closing time in just a little bit here, I do want to offer the fact that if you guys need prayer, you feel like you've never felt the Holy Spirit, please come forward and get prayer today. But the disciples were not just sitting around in this upper room waiting. They were waiting in anticipation. They prayed together in anticipation of what would come. And when it came, they witnessed what would happen and they witnessed the power of God. So we need to anticipate what God is going to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be people that would anticipate what God's going to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in order for that to happen, I need you guys to hear this part. In order for us to have anticipation of what God's going to do, we need to see the need for God's power in our everyday life. In order for us to have anticipation of what God's going to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to see the need for that to happen. Does that make sense? If we do not see the need for God's power or the Holy Spirit to move in our life, I don't know how we can actively pray in anticipation for it. And so I've talked to a lot of people lately that feel like they need answers, like they need God to be partnering with them and give them just kind of advice or words of knowledge or words of wisdom in specific situations. Maybe there's people in their life that they don't know the Lord, or maybe are asking really tough questions. Maybe there's people that need healing. Maybe there's people that are challenging their faith. Whatever it may be, I've talked to people lately that feel like they need the Holy Spirit, that they need guidance from God. And they always seem to, for whatever reason, fall back on an insecurity that they don't know enough. That when they're in these situations talking to people that are challenging their faith or wanting specific answers or expecting healing, they're like, I don't know what to tell them because I don't know enough of the Bible. I'm not smart enough when it comes to the things of God. And I would tell you that it doesn't matter your credentials there, or it doesn't matter on your education there. What does matter is that you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, though. You're yielding to the Holy Spirit's leading there. And so we actually see this backed up specifically in Scripture. John 14, 25 through 26 says this: "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Everybody say all things. "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I know Jesus speaks specifically to disciples in this area, but the word is for today and the word is living and active, right? And when I read this, I see Jesus telling me straight up as his follower, as his disciple, the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance all things that he has said. What has Jesus said? Jesus has said everything that I read and think of usually when it comes to what I'm telling people in the moment from Scripture. I'm telling them things that he's already spoken. And so if I'm in a situation where I feel like I'm not qualified, or I don't know enough, or I'm not educated enough to tell this person the answers that they're looking for, or to give them that piece of whatever it is from Scripture that they're looking for, I don't necessarily have to live in fear of that. I just have to trust and declare out that the Holy Spirit is going to bring into remembrance everything that Jesus has said. Does that make sense? So I would encourage you guys, if you ever feel that way or you feel like I can't go and minister to this person yet until I read more of the Bible. I can't go and be a person that is a witness of God to this person until I A, B, and C, get my life together, read more of the Bible, get more educated, get my degree, whatever it is. Do not wait for that moment because we don't know what tomorrow brings, but trust in the Holy Spirit is going to bring in remembrance the things that Jesus has said. Now, as a side note, in order to know what Jesus has said, you have to actually listen to what he's saying, right? So I would encourage you, get in his word. Do not just expect the Holy Spirit to always kind of bail you out in that moment, but he will always bring into remembrance what Jesus has said. And so be encouraged. This is an encouragement. I think when it comes into a real life application, to be reminded that everybody is kind of in a different spot. And so you guys may know people that aren't in a relationship with Jesus. You might know people that have been through a lot of hardship or been hurt by the church or been hurt by their relationship with God, whatever it may be. And these may be people that have completely shut their heart off to God or shut that gateway or hardened their heart to him or whatever it may be. And the problem that happens there is they are desperately at the risk of whatever the world wants to bring to them in that moment. They're no longer under God's grace, and they need God's grace in that moment. And so Taylor and I were, Taylor's my wife, by the way, if you're new here, if you don't know who Taylor is, she's serving in kids' church today. But Taylor and I were watching Netflix, and Taylor absolutely loves, and I like it too, but Taylor especially loves like true crime documentaries and everything like that, learning how they unfolded and everything like that. I feel like that's pretty common. And so we were watching this show that highlighted people that had committed horrible crimes when they were in their childhood, right? And how that kind of plays out and their kind of life sentence and everything like that. And so you have all these interviews with prosecutors and then defense lawyers, and you're hearing all these different opinions on the specific cases and everything. And I took this quote from one person because this kid who was now in his 30s or 40s, he was talking about how he had new faith, or he found new faith in Jesus and new God, and God, and he wants a second chance and all this kind of stuff. And so I think it was his defense lawyer talking about it, but he said this. He said, "All people get second opportunity through God, but not everyone gets a second opportunity through the world." And so I thought that was interesting because, again, I'm not going to talk about true crime or the cases or whatever, but I did think that there was a lot of truth to that quote, because there's a lot of people we talk to, as I said, that have shut their heart out to God, or they don't know him, and they're not going to find that second opportunity from the world like I think they're expecting to. If they've been hurt in one way, or if they've shut off with God, they've moved on to a second thing. They're expecting to find that new opportunity, and they won't find it through there, but they will find it through God. And God will redeem them. The thing is, though, I don't think we have to just pray and hope that they're going to come back to God on their own. I think that God wants to actually move through us and go to them. Because there's a lot of people that don't know how to connect with God. They don't know how to hear his voice, but they do know how to hear your voice. They do know how to connect with you as a human being. You're something tangible they can interact with. And so in order for them to encounter God to his fullest, it kind of requires us to be obedient, to be able to lay ourselves down, lay down whatever it is that's in our way of interacting with God and be an empty vessel for the Holy Spirit to fill us up and display the power of God to a person like that. Does that make sense? This displays in such a beautiful way, because if you talk to somebody like that, that's been through things, that doesn't want to talk about those things, and they're shut off to God or whatever it is, and you come to them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen is not only are you going to be talking to them, displaying grace and truth, which is what they need in that moment, but he might display one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through you in that moment, like a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, something that you couldn't possibly know about that person, but God does. And so when you display that, or when you witness to them and when you speak that, they are hearing directly from God in that moment, and it's happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit is a helper for every single one of these situations. And I think the most beautiful thing is we focus a lot on the Holy Spirit today. We talk about the Holy Spirit as a helper a lot, but we serve a triune God, and even the Holy Spirit talks about how Jesus is Lord And so that's kind of how I want to end today. But in 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says this: "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So even when the Holy Spirit is moving in and through you, you're declaring that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I feel like this is just exciting because in every aspect of the changes that we've had here at Chapel Valley, if you don't know, we have approved this. The changes are in place, but we are actually going to be called Dwelling House. And this is a time and a season where we really have felt like we are trying to focus on the presence of the Lord and allowed him to change in and through us, but really focusing on Jesus as Lord. And so there's been so much focus and so much attention on Jesus as he deserves. And I feel like it's funny that the second that I kind of go away from that and just focus on the Holy Spirit, because it is a triune God, that even when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it tells us in Scripture that we will acknowledge Jesus as Lord the way he deserves. Even in the Holy Spirit, we will give him the praise that he deserves. Amen. So I don't know where you guys stand. I know some people will say that the Holy Spirit is not for today. Some people hold that belief. I'm just here to tell you, it doesn't matter to me because of how real I've seen it. I could stand up here and have an entire scripture-based message on proving or debating, I guess, why the Holy Spirit is for today. But I would much rather tell you guys in just power of testimony. It says in his word that we would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And just as I spoke about the time that I was at that youth camp and talked with people and prayed with people, I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit firsthand. And so I know he moves here in 2024, and he wants to move in and through you too. And so if you feel like you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to come up and receive prayer. I'm going to ask. We're really light today on people, but we definitely have pastors here that will still come up and pray. And so I just ask that if that's you, if you feel like you want to receive the Holy Spirit, or if you don't know anything about Jesus, even maybe this is your first time here, maybe you don't have a relationship with God, whatever it may be, I would encourage you that if you feel you need prayer to come up and receive prayer today. But I'm going to pray for you guys, and I'm going to close here. Father God, I just thank you for being a good and faithful God. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit, or sent the Holy Spirit, just as you promised, to be a helper. God, that you didn't leave the disciples high and dry. You didn't just ascend into heaven and just hope that they would carry on your teachings. But Lord, you literally sent God back to them, to be with them, to walk with them. And that that Holy Spirit still walks with us today. Lord, I thank you that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we truly do see an outpouring of your power in a way that just brings glory back to your name. God, Pastor Jay talked about this last week, but we just don't want anybody to be on stage or during worship making things about themselves, not during a message making things about themselves, not even praying to people and having miracles happen, making that about themselves. Lord, we give all the attention and all the acknowledgement and all the glory to you. God, that this is all works of you. Lord, I thank you that we get to see the full power of God on display when the Holy Spirit is moving in and through us as a helper. And I pray that that would be a reminder to us as we are going through our daily lives. God, I pray that you would just encourage us and remind us that it says in your word that the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance the things that you have said when it matters most. So Lord, I just pray that you would be filling us with those words of wisdom, with those words of knowledge, with that special kind of faith, with healing. God, whatever it may be, because the Holy Spirit decides and distributes. But Lord, I just thank you that we get to experience those things because we experience you in a new way. And you are such a good and faithful and loving God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. If you would like prayer, please do not hesitate to come up. But otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.